Hello, everyone. Welcome to Walking with the Dead, a review podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Stephen Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
And we're here for filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. All right. So if you're new to the podcast, what we do is we talk about every week's latest episode of The Walking Dead. So we're going to be talking about what we just saw, along with also giving predictions as to what's to come. If you want to get in contact with us, you can also send us an email at podcast@filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. So this week, we're going to be talking about the latest episode of The Walking Dead, and that's JSS Season 6, Episode 2. All right. So first and foremost, we're going to talk about how there was a big, big shift in mood and atmosphere from the beginning of the episode to the end of the episode. And then they kind of like go right back to it at the end. So when we start off the episode, we see them pretty much going through regular day life. You know, Carol's gathering up ingredients, and they're having like this nice little discussion on how Carol's a great cook and how she's pretty much a great housewife. And she even makes a snarky comment at the other lady that's there. What'd you think of seeing how normal, and I'm specifically talking about Carol, how normal Carol can be?
It shows you that she can switch from between the character from being the complete badass to the survivalist to also being, hey, you know what? I can cook you guys something really great with some of the crappy things we have available right now.
And you know what's interesting is that she even talks about how she was with her husband. And I think for that character, it's still like every once in a while she might think like I've come a long way from this sort of like subservient housewife to what she is now, man. She is one of the like biggest badasses that the group has, and she's really incognito about it because it especially right now in Alexandria, you can't see it at all. She hides in and blends in so well. Which in the first episode, Morgan calls her out on it.
Yeah.
Because he says, like, you know, you're looking around a lot and you're definitely looking for something. Yeah. So we're seeing like the day to day life of people in Alexandria. And we're seeing Jesse with his mom and that tension that's building right there. Mm-hmm. And even his mom tells him, like, hey, yeah, okay, you might blame them for it. But that whole scene where she tells him, try lifting your arm up. Your dad beat you, and therefore that's what led him to die. And I think it shows that she does have an understanding of to an extent, this might have been necessary. You think she was relieved of by what happened to her husband?
Yeah, it felt like a giant weight off of her shoulders just like flew right off. And you can see it in her reactions and her mannerisms, the way how she's portraying herself. But then her own son kind of seems like it's more in denial. The fact that, like, well, he might have beaten the crap out of us, but the thing is, there's a reason why he did it. And the mom is trying to ease that tension. It's like, you can relax now. He's not here anymore. And then that's when he starts throwing his rage out at, well, what about Rick? What about Rick the whole time?
He's dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that they don't really like. Well, they don't tend to acknowledge it too much. It's like, well, okay, yeah, these people are dangerous.
Yeah.
But they're here to protect you. And I think that's what and for me, what Jesse's sentiment is a sentiment of maybe some of the people in the community where it's like, these people are dangerous. We've never had this kind of danger within our walls. We've never had any sort of threat, really, aside from the walkers. And even then, they built up the walls and sort of, their community was able to flourish in this sort of protected environment. And that directly leads into what ends up happening later on. So as Carol's looking out the window, looking at the neighbor who she just made a snarky comment at, all of a sudden you see this dude come out of nowhere and slice her stomach. That was insane, dude. It shifted the whole episode, like one to this whole different sort of like mood from very calm, very like slight Pleasantville, you know, to all of a sudden things just go to hell in an instant.
I love how she made that comment about her smoking and how that was going to be her downfall. And she's looking outside, she's smoking, and wham, here comes one of the bandits or wolves, as they're calling them right now. It's ridiculous.
And then you just see everything go to hell instantly, and you start seeing
pandemonium.
Like, all these, what it seemed like is that the wolves were a huge group because they seemed to have like come into town, jumped the fence, come into the town and just wrecked shop everywhere.
And it's weird to think we've only seen, I think throughout the whole entire series from the last season, it's only two of them.
Yeah. The ones that Morgan runs into, right? Yeah,
exactly. And it's crazy that how did they accumulate those numbers? I'm still a little baffled.
What it seems to me is sort of seems like very cult-like. Mm. Like, oh, we've lost our minds. Now let's... It's almost like a snowball effect. Like, I've lost my mind. I'm going to go to this town and like, you know, mutilate everyone. Oh, people are going to lose their minds while we do that, and they're probably going to join us. It almost reminds me, like, almost like a very Aztec way of, like, you know, you want to join us?
It's a crazy savagery that how they're going around killing these people. Not only that, they're stealing like limbs or chopping limbs off.
Yeah, it's sort of, and I think savagery is the right word because up until this point, we've only seen like banded groups that have come into places in order to benefit themselves. Like the bandits that Daryl was hanging out with, they weren't particularly savage. They were just like bandits, really. Mm-hmm. They were just kind of looking out for themselves. These don't necessarily look like they're looking out for themselves. It looks like they're just going into an area and killing and annihilating everything because of whatever, you know, whatever reasoning they might have.
Yeah, even that group that Daryl was with, they actually live by a code as well.
Yeah, they had a certain code, right?
Yeah, it's like finders keepers the whole entire time, and if you kill it, you call it. It's like
with these wolves, it just sort of seems like pandemonium.
Yeah.
So as this is going down, we see Carol kind of taking up this very hero role, man, because she all of a sudden decides, all right, well, I'm going to go around and I'm going to try to save as many people as possible and minimize casualties. Because I don't think in Carol's mind it's save everyone. Mm-mm. I think she's one of those characters that really genuinely believes, look, we can't save everyone, so I'm going to try to save as much as I can. So you see her make her way towards the armory because that's where she believes, like, okay, well, that's... Which essentially that is where she wants to go because she sees that none of the wolves have guns. Mm-hmm. Now, here's an interesting subject. Why do you think the wolves don't carry any weapons? Any projectile weapons like guns and stuff like that?
I believe most of them are probably sick in the head. So the thing is, them holding a weapon like that, so much caliber, they've actually taken down somebody. And the mere probably reaction of them shooting somebody, killing them, may set them off, most likely. That's what I think.
Now, you know what's interesting, though, is the dude in the guard tower, I believe his name was Spencer.
Yeah.
It was sort of telling of how, like, nurtured these people are and how coddled to an extent they are because he couldn't get off a single shot. He couldn't shoot a single person. No. It's like, this is a guy that you have as Overwatch, and he's not doing anything.
No, he isn't.
I think he managed to shoot one person.
He barely, like, nicked them.
Yeah, and that was really it. There was not much use for him at all. And then... So finally, we get to see what happened with the horn. The
horn, yes.
And we see that the semi is barreling to the gates, and he derails. He manages to get it to go off course by shooting the driver and having it crash into the wall.
If what is a driver?
Yeah, you know, that's another one that I was kind of thinking about. Like, was there initially a driver? Because when he opens the semi door, it was just the zombie
in there.
So I'm not even sure how the wolves went about that, like, because it seemed like the guy turned pretty quick. But if he died while he was getting shot, then I guess conceivably he could have turned in that amount of time.
But it seemed it was too quick if he turned. It's for like 20, 30 seconds. I've never seen anybody turn that fast. Not even Lori turned that quick.
Yeah, it definitely took him a while.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering about that. But either way, it shows that these wolves did not care to take Alexandria. What they wanted was to definitely cause chaos and to slaughter and to just all around be savage. Because they didn't look like they were taking materials either or scavenging.
Hell no.
So I'm interested in seeing where these wolves are going to, or how this group is going to develop and how this new danger is going to arise. Now, throughout the episode, you're not only seeing Carol being a complete badass, but you're also seeing Morgan, man.
Yeah, but he's not being a badass, so he's seen as more of the conscience.
I think the humanity they might have lost.
Sanity compared to the chaos that's going on.
Yeah, because he's definitely keeping a clear head, and you could tell he doesn't want to hurt anyone, but he has to. And he's a great fighter, but he does it hesitantly, you know?
Exactly. You see him when, especially when he gets surrounded by four of them, he takes them all down like nothing, but he doesn't kill anybody.
He doesn't go after anyone. He always takes a defensive stance while Carol's taking an offensive stance. And there's a great scene where it's between him and Gabriel, and it's when they're tying up the bandit that Morgan had just knocked out. Mm-hmm. They're tying him up, and I think Gabriel asks him, where do you learn how to do that? And what do you say?
He's like, I learned from a cheesemaker.
A cheesemaker. And I'm like, that is so telling of the universe they live in, and that a cheesemaker, someone you wouldn't expect to have these sort of fighting abilities. Mm. Like, this is the world now where even someone that used to be a cheesemaker, because let's face it, they're not a cheesemaker anymore.
No.
Someone that used to be this taught him how to defend himself so precisely. And maybe the cheesemaker himself didn't necessarily want to hurt anyone either.
Yeah, he probably didn't expect himself to actually be in a survivalist after all that time. And seeing that there is a set skill level now for most people to actually choose to survive or not to choose to survive.
And so that was very interesting. And also in that same scene, you see them tying up the bandit.
Yeah.
And he comes to and he starts talking to them like, you guys don't belong here. To me it seemed like we as a species don't belong here anymore. We are irrelevant as a creature in this new world. That's what it seemed to me like the bandit was saying, or maybe that's what their group believes.
A little incoherent, but yeah, it pretty much sounds about right. And then Carol out of nowhere, bam,
blast him in the head, dude. Just no remorse, no second thought, just comes out of nowhere. Okay, pop. The guy's tied up and just pops him, hands Gabriel and Morgan the gun, and Morgan takes it reluctantly. One, because I think he knew that Carol wasn't gonna
let it go.
Yeah, she wasn't just gonna leave and be like, okay, cool, don't have a gun. And also because at the end of the day, I think Morgan acknowledges, all right, these are a danger, mm-hmm. or these people are dangerous.
Yes.
But he doesn't want to kill him. While Carol comes from this ideology of we have to do whatever we can to survive. So we're seeing all this pandemonium going on in Alexandria, and then we also see what's going on with Carl inside the house and how he's with I believe Enid. And Enid's the one that starts off the whole episode. So we see her in her travels, mm-hmm. and we see her etch in JSS in anything she finds. Mm-hmm. So she puts it on herself. She puts it on walls. She puts it on dirt.
Dirt, car door, the bones of the turtle she like savagely destroyed.
Yeah, dude. And it's one of those things where even when she found Alexander, she was still hesitant on joining in. And from the very beginning, she's been one of the few members in the community that definitely looks like she doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. And she's been outside the walls. Because when they first get there, Carl sees her leaving the walls, mm-hmm. and Carl relates to her. And I think it's because she's living the outside world that's what Carl is honing in on.
Yeah, because she's not used to the social norm how Alexandra is. And that's why she always ends up leaving. She goes tracking. She leaves for like a day or two, and then she comes back. It's like nothing's happened.
And so we see this whole scene where they try to kill Jesse. One of the bandits tries to kill Jesse.
Oh,
and so Carl, as the guy's chasing Jesse, Carl shoots the guy in the leg, mm-hmm. and Jesse looks at him. And I think it's just Jesse's way of being like, I can't accept your help. Mm-hmm. That Carl tells him, dude, if you come into the house, we will protect you. And he's like, nah. And he just runs off. But not after Carl has like shot and killed this dude. And that's when I think Jesse realizes, I'm not in the same league. I can't compete. And, you know, obviously he hates Carl for taking his girl.
Yeah, jealousy.
And for his dad killing, well, his dad also.
Exactly. It's the fact that you see his girl that he likes or he always nurtures with being with him, the complete badass, now that we see him as more of a badass. And he's pretty much like, no, hell no, please no. I'm just going to leave. Most likely I might not get killed, but hopefully I will.
It's funny that this kid, Jesse, must hate the Grimes family, dude. Because it's like they came in, Rick kills his dad, and Carl takes his girl. Like, how much can you beat on a guy?
It's like Vikings, pretty much. You came, you killed my family, take my woman. What am I going to do?
And I can't do anything about it because you're the protector. Like, man, that sucks.
Oh.
Well, from Jesse's point of view, I guess
it's terrible.
Really sucks to live in Alexandria.
But in Carl's view, it's like, I'm just trying to help, man.
I'm just here doing me, bro. Why you gotta get mad? She chose me.
Yeah.
So and we're seeing all this stuff going down. Now, one of the things I like the most was when we see the two people run at Morgan during all the chaos, and we see Carol dressed up as one of the wolves. And you know what's interesting is I think that's very telling of her character, because it shows, like, I will put on, to me it seemed like I will put on any costume and I will do just about anything I have to do to ensure that I survive, and even to ensure that the people I'm with and those I hold dear survive. And I think that might be a carryover from Sophia.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing that too. And also the fact that everyone that looks at her, they're like, oh, hey, what's up, Janice? Because they realize she's part of them. So that's how she. That's how the one of the wolves probably dressed up as. And just mows them down every time.
I love that, dude. Just that runs great. Up, especially when they're exiting the house, when they're close to the armory. Oh, she just comes out of nowhere like, oh, hey, where'd you get that? Boom, boom. And just kills everyone like. Oh man, that's insane.
That was gnarly.
And she was also one of the first ones to she was the one that said to just leave Gabriel. Like, look, dude, he's a lost cause.
Yeah.
She is very cutthroat, man. And she has been for the last couple of seasons, from killing the people in the prison that she thought would be a bigger problem later on, to having to kill that little girl. I mean, that scene was insane, dude. You would never guess that the Carol from, like, season one or two was going to become that person.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty much becoming, I don't want to say she's getting the Andrea syndrome yet, because first of all, she really hasn't fallen in love with somebody yet, and kind of let her guard down.
I don't think that's something that, I don't think that's something that's going to happen, because to me, that would take away from the character and take away from, like, what we're seeing in that character.
That would, too, if that ever happens.
But her interaction with Jesse's little brother, her interactions with him are like, look, you got to man up. Like, I know you're like, you know, what, 11, 12? But this is a new world you're living in. You got to grow up quick.
Yeah, it's just iron curtain on him the whole entire time. It's really cold.
Oh. And it's going to be interesting to see how the kid takes it. I think after the wolves invade, he's going to see, okay, maybe Carol has the right idea. Because it's like, And even his mom is going to see that these are measures that need to be taken, because mm-hmm. this is the first time Alexandria gets hit, and they got hit hard, dude. I think the greater populace is going to realize, yeah, we do need help. Or there might be some people that'll think that it was their fault that the bandits came to begin with. You think that'll be a plot point later on, that people will start blaming them for those bandits?
They are gonna be pointing the fingers, which is, I know for a fact they will. But there's also what I know you and me have seen it already. The bag.
Yep.
The bag is like the main thing.
I was hoping you would say that. And that's the thing. The bag is symbolic of their old way of thinking of us. We need to go out and we need to vet these people, and we gotta bring people in. But that's an ideology that Rick and his group have never really had. Or, I mean, initially they did a little bit, but for the last seasons, it's been like, this is our group. We're so, like, protective of our group. And in Alexandria, they had it to an extent, mm-hmm. but I think they're going to be more cautious over who they bring in now.
I know. Then also, I believe there's going to be very high tensions if somebody actually speaks out about that backpack. Because if someone does say something, it's like, well, that's when all the finger pointing is going to be happening. Then there's going to be traitor talk and everything else. We've seen turmoil like that happen all the time.
So we'll explain the backpack a little bit, because in case you missed it, like, the backpack was from the previous season where Daryl and I can't remember the gentleman's name.
Me neither.
But yeah, they both go out and they basically talk to different groups, and the backpack is what they show, has pictures to show them, like, well, this is our community and this is safe haven. This is genuine salvation. And I don't think they're going to be doing that as much anymore, because I think that character is definitely going to see the guilt in his, he's going to feel guilty for having lost his equipment and to an extent having led them there.
Yes, he will. He pretty much is the main reason why they got attacked. So say. But also, there hasn't been, they've said it before too, there hasn't been that much conflict that's been going on in that area to begin with.
But I think because they haven't felt it and really dealt with it as much, I think because of that, it's going to be that much more traumatic for them.
Oh, man. It, it's just going to get way, it's going to hit downhill for everyone in Alexandria after this. It's really intense because we still haven't seen how many of those actual zombies from the last episode, if they're actually halfway there or almost there too.
That's something that I did want to address. It's like, well, you guys have just had this huge battle with the wolves, which, I mean, they came out of it victorious with Morgan letting a good chunk of them go, and they took a gun as they were leaving, and I think that's going to come back and
it will.
And really bite Morgan in the ass, dude, because it's like, man, you were the one that had them in your crosshairs, and you let them go.
And you gave them an idea.
Yeah, and also, so like I was saying, so they just got invaded by these people. The people leave, and then all of a sudden, we still have the looming like threat of these walkers that heard the horn from the semi and are the horde is making its way towards Alexandria. Now, how they're going to fend off those walkers, that's going to be another interesting like part of this season.
I know, but hold on. The bell rang. Dinner's ready, guys.
Oh, yeah, right? All this stuff happens, what, in like an hour, I think Carol set the timer for?
Probably.
So at the beginning of the episode, you do see her like set a timer and she's going to make like a quiche or something. Or it sort of seems like some casserole.
Yeah.
And then she sets a timer. She's watching Judith. And that's when all this like goes down. Well, at the end of the episode, after everything that's happened, after they finally rid themselves of the wolves, you just see like, oh, okay. And then Carl going to the kitchen, like sees the timer go off, takes out the casserole. And you know what's interesting is that for me, that sort of symbolizes, okay, life's back to normal. Like in their world, it's so commonplace to be attacked and to like defend themselves that it's almost like, oh yeah, it's just a part of life now. We're done with this raid. Yeah. Now let's eat and be merry again.
You know, the daily reckoning's over, guys. Let's eat.
Today's trials are done.
Yeah.
Now casserole.
Casserole time.
Carol casserole. Now one thing I want to see is how Rick and them are going to really address the issue, because they're going to have to come up with and devise a plan incredibly quick if they want to stop these walkers.
Yes, because he even offered everybody to learn how to use weapons, train, and still a bunch of them refused to do it. And now, since there has been a tragedy, say attack that actually been happening on Alexandria, everyone's going to have to actually now learn.
That and you know, the danger that's heading their way. Oh, so I'm interested in seeing how any of this fleshes out. Like, all of this fleshes out. And I'm interested in seeing, it just sort of seems like this season is much more action-packed than some of the last seasons have been. Usually they save it for maybe season finales or mid-season finales. No. But this one, just from the very beginning, from these first two episodes, and from even everything they're lining up, it seems like the whole season in general is going to keep building up to more and more action, which I definitely love.
Yeah, we have everything already. We have who our villains are. We have what is our major crisis. We've had already a conflict that's destroyed maybe about half of the people there. And then we need a resolution now. We don't know how long it's going to be until the resolution, but Jesus, this is a really, really good episode so far. Good season.
All right, guys. Well, if you're liking this season as much as we're liking the season, go ahead and let us know in the comments. Let us know what you think. And if you want to go ahead and send us an email, make sure you send us an email at podcast@filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. So we want to know what you guys think. We want to know how you see the season developing and if you're enjoying it as much as we are.
Oh, yeah, we are hella enjoying the season. It's only been 2 episodes. It's intense. Really.
It's got way more intensity than season 2 altogether.
Oh, my God.
All right, take it easy, guys.